Wow. I love expeditions to the South Pole. Oh, wow. Oh, here. Why we see sails here? You're not sailing. Oh well, it should be normal. The expedition took place between 1910 and 1913 and was led by Robert Falcon Scott. And he had some various scientific and geographical objectives. Very scientific to kill penguins first before you weigh them. And killing seals for blubber and skinning penguins. Yeah, that's scientific. Skinning sea lions. Wow, did you catch that? Or shoot it from the air? I thought you guys came here to research penguin eggs and why they can hatch in this freezing cold. Researching the embryos. But this is not what I see. I see sadistic people at work. Look here on the roof. Dead baby penguins, frozen. Are you guys going to eat baby penguins? Piece of shit, bastards. And they even got statues and medals. Scott statue at Portsmouth. This not looks like a 43-year-old man, more like a 60-year-old man. There was even a memorial service for that piece of shit. Look what the people, for a big lie. So the brainwashing already started back in, oh, let's say 1900. Because all those missions smell like shit. Missions to the South Pole. Antarctic heroes, my ass. Oh, lovely penguins. Oh, this is not a very big boat. Oh, this must be the sledge dogs. Sledge dogs. Yeah. Heading for Antarctica. Huh. So they arrived early January. And the conditions were extremely harsh, with temperatures plummeting as low as minus 60 degrees Celsius or minus 76 degrees Fahrenheit. Hold on. Minus 60 degrees Celsius. So this photo is from January the 23rd, 1911. It not look so cold. Is this minus 60? What is this guy doing here? Hey, are you watching how he scratches his balls? It looks kind of warm here. Oh, I love horses. Wow. They brought 19 horses. Two horses got eaten by killer whales. Yeah, that's what the story says. Two were lost at sea. When they broke through the ice and they could not retrieve them and fell victim for the killer whales. Yeah, I believe that. And you also had a dog named Osman, and he was washed overboard by a giant wave and broke loose from his chain. And a miracle happened, he was back on board again on the next wave. My little pony, my little pony. Oh wow. Here we have one of the Manchurian ponies. Huh. Hey, hold on. This is fake. Do you see it? Fake. These shadows. Are way off. Shadow direction. And the horse's leg shadow direction. Can you believe the shit? Fucking bastards. Liars. And where is your horses? I don't see horses here. So you arrived here in beginning January, 3 or 4 January, and you have built this house 50 by 25 feet. So where is the stables for 17 horses at least? And where is all the food? The hay? Because until this year, November the 1st, you still had 12 horses. So when you departed from New Zealand, you have to bring food for the horses for like more than 11 months. So a horse likes to eat like 15 hours per day, chewing, chewing. So a horse eats like 2.5 kilo for hundreds of kilo body weight daily. So for an adult horse of 600 kilogram, this is between the 9 and the 15 kilogram. So let's say a bale of hay weighed 40 pounds, 18 kilo. So this is what it say in my language, in my country, 15 to 20 kilo. And the size will be roughly 45 by 40 by 100 centimeter. These are the regular ones we have in Holland. So you hide out until November the 1st. You had to hide out because it's dark. From April 26, there is no daylight anymore. It's dark. On November the 1st, 1911, 12 men, each with a pony and a sledge. So if you calculate from January the 1st, 1911, when you arrive, until November the 1st, 1911, you need food for the horses for like 11 months, and then not calculated the trip from New Zealand to Antarctica. So these trucks hold about 800 to 950 blocks of hay. So this is the amount they had to take with them. We have to add way more hay. If we add this trip from New Zealand to Cape Evans, where they landed. So how long this trip takes? So this boat left Port Chalmers at November 29 in 1910. So on December 8, 1910, the first iceberg was spotted. And on the following day, on latitude 65, the Terra Nova entered pack ice. So you have to travel to the 77th latitude south. So that's like 12 times 111 kilometer. So it takes you 3 weeks to travel 1500 kilometer. That's like 75 kilometer per day. Through pack ice. So on December the 30th, 1910, Scott wrote, "We're out of the pack ice." So suddenly there was no pack ice anymore. I remember it was freezing like 60 degrees Celsius when you arrived at Camp Evans. So after that pack ice, that seawater don't freeze anymore. Well, that sounds not logic. It should be more frozen because you go more south and you burn a lot of coal maneuvering through this pack ice. Why, I see you sail. Are you sailing through the pack ice? Stuck in the ice and having your sails out. This is some idiot thing to do. It took you guys 9 days from Port Chalmers to the 65th latitude south, which is an average of 244 kilometers a day or 10 kilometers per hour. On December the 30th, 1910, Scott wrote, "We are out of the pack at a length and at last one breath again." On New Year's Day, 1911, Mount Erebus came into view. So that means you are about 220 kilometers away. And then you could see the top of Mount Erebus. And nothing more, because yeah, you have an earth curvature. When I'm on top of Mount Erebus, my horizon is like 217 kilometers away. So I could see this ship come over the horizon. And that ship could see me standing on top of that mountain, in theory. But that's only in theory possible. Nobody can see 220 kilometers far. So only me and the top is visible. The rest is hidden behind the curvature. Let me get this straight. You can do 75 kilometers per day through pack ice. If we calculate 70 kilometers a day, then you could see Mount Erebus on 225 kilometer distance. But you went out of the pack ice, and then your speed at least triples because you're not in the pack ice anymore. And then you can do 225 kilometer a day. And you could see Mount Erebus with still 3 days of sailing. So could you see Mount Erebus from a 750 kilometer distance? Or 220 kilometer distance when we calculate pack ice speed? What is the visibility on the South Pole? In January, only 9 kilometers. February, 8. And in March, only 5 kilometers. And in April also, 6 kilometers, 5 kilometers, 5 kilometers, 6, 4, 6, 9, 8. So in December, the visibility is about 9 kilometers. You guys just made up story after story after story. Pieces of shit. And they attempted to land at Cape Cozier, where they had planned to set up a winter quarters. But the seas were too rough. And then McMurdo Sound was the next option. And then on January the 4th, 1911, the Terra Nova anchored. That is only like 70 kilometers between the two landing places. So, and where did you guys figure out? The high sea? Close or far away? Because then it makes no difference. There is only a small difference in direction, like I showed you, 70 kilometers. So your bearing would be almost equal. So where do you figure out there was high seas? Or you possibly been closer? I cannot find any info on that. I guess you were way closer because you could see this mountain. And we cannot see this far on sea. You must be a lucky guy if you can see more than 75 kilometers from sea level. So you must have been closer than 9 kilometers. Or you have some X-ray telescope. to look at this mountain. Liars. Just another bullshit story, because it doesn't matter from which side you come. How do you go around the heavy seas here? Liars. Look, totally staged. It looks like it's frozen here, and his mustache is frozen, but nothing else is frozen. Liars. Yes, yeah, skinning a penguin on deck of the boat. So where is the horse food? Show me. I've not seen it. Or you feed them Coleman's corn flour. Or some whale blubber. Liars. It looks so fake. These pictures are too good. How much you going to kill, piece of shit? Yeah, it's very important to bring a record player. Is this some Edison commercial? Yeah, this really looks like warm winter clothes for minus 60. Look at those clowns. So you want me to put a rope around your neck? Piece of shit? Animal abusers. Or clowns. Or killers. He dared to call himself a doctor. Heinz, baked beans. Is this your horse food? Look at this clown show. Don't you freeze to death, bunch of butchers. Where are your winter shoes? Your toes might be frozen. Oh look, dog handler, Cecil, Mares, and Captain Lawrence Oaks cook blubber for the dogs. Don't you cook blubber for the horses? Oh, here. They're having a cozy dinner. You're eating a blubber? Is this Captain Scott? Yes. They're celebrating his 43rd birthday. Yeah, look, doing some scientific experiments, I think. He grinds stone samples. Yeah, very interesting. Oh, here. A makeshift dark room. July 22. Yeah, it should be dark because there is no daylight. So you don't have to create a dark room. Because it's already dark, piece of shit. Oh, look. Oh, Captain Scott, piece of shit. That's some funky stuff. And very dangerous. It seems they moved this Mount Erebus in the background for this shot. Liars. Oh wow. I love this nice cozy cabin. Sharing it with six males. Yeah, the hut was quickly erected and it measured 50 feet by 25 feet. And it was 9 feet to the eaves. It was insulated with quilted seaweed and lined with matchboard, and you lit everything up with acetylene gas. So you have to harvest a couple of ton wet seaweed in some sea that is not frozen with a temperature of minus 66 Celsius. And you have to let it dry, which is impossible because it freezes with minus 60 degrees. And then you come to quilt that seaweed. Did you ever try to quilt, for example, frozen spaghetti? And then you're going to put that wet stuff as insulation for your walls. You make me laugh. Here is Mr. Herbert filming and photographing all the action. You know, it come to my attention, they always holding their breath because we never see condensation.
See, negative 69 Fahrenheit without wind and negative 101 with. So, and your face kind of freezes over. I mean, like every hair kind of freezes. Ready?
Yes. Do it.
Let's do it. And go. Gotta keep the timer warm in there too.
When you are walking or on the move, then this process goes even faster because your own condense hit your face all the time and that will freeze up your face. Yeah, you guys better hold your breath before you take a picture.
Here we made it, it's Friday the 13th. We've had so many things go against us. We had beautiful weather but bad weather before and bad terrain and injuries and stuff like that. But
so you call minus 25 degrees Celsius beautiful weather? And this is the reason I see no condense coming from your bread.
We had beautiful weather but bad weather before and bad terrain and injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah, beautiful weather, minus 25 degrees Celsius. I can see condense coming from my mouth when the temperature is like 1 degree Celsius.
Everyone is so happy. Everyone's touched the ball.
Yeah, we know you like to touch balls, lying piece of shit. Your boats always look so clean, free of ice, and some of them look very fake. You go and buy this fake photo for $475, piece of shit.
I guarantee you, when you start working up on the Russian line, the passport ain't gonna help you any. You're going straight to the gulag. I know it's an awful long way. It's a gamble. There's two or three canyons way up here near the Russian border. Pervyniz Canyon's been under the ice for the last 7 years straight. You couldn't even fish here if you wanted to. We've got way too much ice on this boat. Right now, we've probably got 50 or 80,000 pounds of extra weight up on that bow with all the ice. We're gonna tend to dive into waves even more and take water. It's 4 feet thick.
We waited too long.
This ice is out of control.
This will never happen again on my watch.
Pure drama. You let it come so far, idiot. And who's filming this boat? You know, the boat that is filming it should rocking like this also.
...7 years straight. You couldn't even fish here if you wanted to. You're gonna tend to dive into waves even more and take water.
And now the boat don't rock anymore. And now who's filming this? Do you have following boats?
You're gonna tend to dive into waves even more and take water.
I will never take this boat to the Bering Strait. Oh, here, they even brought a pianola. Very important to have a pianola. You can store food in here. Or other important stuff. Like horse food. Ah, Captain Scott, the scammer. In his winter clothes. Free of ice. Muppet. This is just makeup. Clowns, they always find some time to shave. They don't like to have a beard that gives some extra protection against the cold. So this was at January 18. I saw the group split it up. So who's taking this picture? You arrived at the pole with your camera and your tripod, or you used some stick, and did you had an automatic shutter button? And while you're sitting on this cold ground, you still need to go back to camp. And the trip back is more than 1,000 kilometers, 1,300 kilometers or so. Morons. Always ice free. Yeah. Modern cameras don't have those low working temperatures. You can come across all kinds of problems. There is many topics to find on the internet from people that filming in freezing colds and the problems they come across. And filming in the Arctic with those cameras is more or less impossible. And especially back in the days with those old film reel cameras.
Temperatures of minus 60 degrees Fahrenheit or minus 51 degrees Celsius aren't unusual under Arctic conditions. Camera shutters become sluggish and unreliable, or even fail completely. Lens diaphragms and autofocus mechanisms often bind, and film transport mechanisms stiffen and lens elements contract and may separate. Motion picture camera drives may not function. Film may become brittle and break in the camera. Sheet film cameras are heavy and bulky, and you will have to store and carry sheet film holders. At low temperatures, the bellows of these cameras can stiffen and come apart instead of expanding and contracting normally. You cannot carry sheet film holders under your clothing. We recommend that you select a smaller format camera for Arctic photography unless the benefits of having larger negatives and transparencies outweigh the limitations and disadvantages of the equipment. Electrically powered motion picture cameras are generally better than spring-driven models if a generator or another source of electricity is available. Batteries are not a dependable power source when they are exposed to extreme cold for extended periods. Film in rolls is less likely to break in the camera than film in magazines. You can load magazine and cartridge-type motion picture cameras easily and quickly in the field, but there is no practical way to winterize magazines and cartridges.
So if we store those cassettes and reels warm and we take them out in the cold, you will get instant condensation on them. And when you leave them in the camera with minus 60, they become brittle. Between 1907 and 1909, we had another expedition to Antarctica, and the cameraman, that was Frank Hurley, and he also was photographer and filmer during World War I and World War II. And this daredevil went on this expedition with Shackleton, and they got stuck in the ice. Here we have ice anchors. Yeah, you got stuck in the ice. And then you need anchors. So Mr. Frank is filming all the action. And who is filming Mr. Frank? Very dangerous to go around with that big lumpy camera. You are filming all the action from A to C. So is your camera not freezing up? Oh, here, some idiots going to row to South Georgia Island. And what idiot going stand into the water? That must be fucking cold. Did you bring enough dry clothes from home? And coal to heat yourself? And dry your clothes. Maybe this is taken on a tropical island with some snow painted in. You liars. And now you're standing here at the South Pole, and this Amundsen beat you with a month. And he leaves his tent and a tiny flag behind. How much tent he had with him? Amundsen had to go more than 1,000 kilometers back to the camp. So he took this tent extra with him. Or on his way back he's going to build some igloos. So Amundsen, also a scammer. How can we go in a couple of weeks from nice looking man to a bunch of bums? This is just a bad movie. Did you bring enough toilet paper, clowns? Ah, finally, after weeks and weeks waiting, there is help at the horizon with this floating ship. And lucky, the ship comes closer and it becomes a black silhouette. Ah, they are so lucky to be saved. Are you playing soccer with the dead penguin? Must be warm here. Are you watching the soccer match? Did you get something to snack? Yeah, you must be hungry from that soccer. Polar ship from no frame. It's all bullshit. It's all just made up stories for people that like a good story. It's all garbage. Yeah, they just have gay parties on those boats. You know, those guys getting dressed up as a woman. Imagine asking this guy, hey, what do you bring to Antarctica? Oh, I bring my dress and my lipstick and my high heels. Faggots. Clown show. I hear. Also stuck in the ice. Ah, I see. This photo is found in a chest. Yeah, a treasure chest. In 2015. At Amundsen is home. Get the fuck out of here. What the fuck is this? Penguin. Oh, you have a pipe. You want to learn the penguin smoking. Stick the pipe up your ass, idiot. A historic meeting in the Bay of Whales. You probably killed all the whales here, liars. The Terra Nova in the background. And then you beat the Terra Nova to the South Pole with a month. Oh, you built this tiny house. How nice. It's all garbage. Here. They all wear sunglasses. They're celebrating the return of the sun. Don't you guys think it's strange? One day you have no sun. And then the next day you have sun for 2 hours. And then each day after that, the sunlight becomes longer. With an hour per day. How is that possible, clowns? Oh, look. It's 55 degrees Celsius and it's getting colder. The breath of men and dogs freezes in the air. I never seen that. That's just bullshit. It's like walking through a dense fog. Yeah, I can imagine. With a maximum visibility between 4 and 9 kilometers. And the alcohol in your compasses freezes. That is also bullshit. Because alcohol freezes around 100 degrees minus Celsius. So how could you find your way to the North Pole and back when your compass freezes all the time? Well, you did some celestial navigation with that visibility between 4 and 9 kilometers. So this is just bullshit. They're fake letters. Yeah, I can write this down on old paper. Oh, look. Where is this taken? Is your camera not freezing up? Liars. This can be anywhere. On December the 14th, Amundsen reached the pole, he think, and he call it the pole home, or the home on the pole. So how do you determine where you are? Helmer Hansen and Amundsen determining the position at the South Pole. So you brought two sextants and three artificial horizons. So what do you need an artificial horizon for? And four spirit compasses. And the alcohol freezes when the temperature was below the 40 degrees. One pocket compass and two pairs of binoculars. And you also brought two cameras, which survived the whole trip. Yeah, right. And did you also bring some mechanical clocks, a couple, because this seems to get stuck also with this freezing cold. A 1900s pocket watch using metal parts that expand and contract with warm and cold. They use oils, lubrication for the gears, different kinds of lubrications, so that can stiffen with extreme colds. So you have to carry this watch always on body temperature. And to determine your position by using the sun and the sextant, you need to read the correct time. And did you also bring something like the nautical almanac? You know, to know the position of the sun and the stars and the moon. So you determine your location with the sextant. How do you know your elevation? To calculate your dip, you are a couple of thousand meters up, and with the visibility between the 4 and 9 kilometer, you can have a lot of refraction. How do you calculate that? That wooden box is your compass, which freezes all the time. It looks way smaller than on the picture. South Pole compass. That's a big bulky compass to drag along the South Pole about the 1,000 miles and take it back 1,000 miles. I can spot now an nautical almanac, or you use the air almanac. I think you needed this instead of the nautical almanac, because the geographical North Pole have an elevation of more than 9,000 feet. And that must have been some heavy climb, because from sea level to 9,000 feet is a lot. Ah, look guys, on your way back, you're going downhill, and that's why you brought your tiny sled. I can spot no clocks or watches, and you had to do this a couple of times per day. What they're trying to push here is just fantasy. It's all bullshit. It's impossible. Pieces of shit. I hear happy survivors, expedition members, to return to New Zealand on the Terra Nova after finding the bodies of Scott and other victims. So some of them went back in this harsh environment. Okay. Who shoveled this snow wall and had too much energy? Just amazing to shovel 20 ton of snow around. Huh. I see no ponies with heavy ice beards. They all look nice and clean. And do you have the horse food on those sleds? You know that these horses eat 5 to 10 kilo per day. And in this environment they can use some extra energy, of course. I see like 7 horses here. And for example, if we take a trip of 10 days, then that would be like 800 pounds of horse food. And your trip was way longer than 10 days. So everything we see on the sleds is horse food. Is Mr. Chief Scientist also aware horses also drink water? Your horse is at least 300 kilo or 600 pound. And under work stress, it can consume like 5 gallons of water. Oh, let me translate this in English. So can we say this horse do heavy work? And for each 100 kilo of body weight, it needs 7 to 10 liters of water. So this horse is 300 kilo, that would be 5 gallon. And in liters, that's like 20 liters. And of course, they don't drink that all at once. So how do you take fresh water with you on this trip? You know, even in Antarctica, fresh water freezes. So each time you have to stop and melt snow. Horses prefer water and they don't like to eat snow because of the temperature. How many tons of coal you took with you? You know, you have to stop each couple of hours. Melt some snow, you know, make fire and put on a big kettle. Let's say you make 3 stops a day. Then you have to melt like 12 gallon or 140 liters each time. And that costs a lot of energy, of course. Ah, you had a tiny camp stove. Did you melt all this snow in your tiny camp cooker? How could anyone fall for this bullshit? This never happened. It's just a made-up story. So, last 120 years, billions of people heard about this and nobody had checked the facts. Taking horses with you was very stupid. Because it's impossible what you're trying to pull off here. Everything seems to be fake. Liars. When I look at this so-called mission, I see many different camera qualities. So there were a lot of camera presence. Because you cannot tell me one day your camera takes good quality pictures and the other day take bad quality pictures. And when I look at this previous mission between 1901 and 1904, then all pictures got like the same blend. Ah, finally a photo with a deck full with snow. And this is the website from the Royal Society. RoyalSociety.org. Search, browse, transcribe, translate, feedback. 350 years of scientific publishing. Photographs. Maybe we can find some photographs of this important mission to the pole in 1910. Let me see, this page contains a ton of photos. Let me do a Control F. No. 1911, no. No. 1930, no. Let me search for Scott. Scott and Ski, 1904. 1902, 1904. So I don't see nothing from 1910 on this Royal Society website. Science in the making. So did they forget about this mission? Or maybe they mix up the 1901 mission and a fake 1910 mission. That's possible. Ah, here they mention it. But they don't have photos from this mission. That's kind of strange. I love the heroic age of Antarctic exploration. So this was the Belgians, I believe, with a ship called the Belgica. Looks pretty similar as the Terra Nova. This is the ship. And this was taken in 1898. These ships look pretty similar. They just give the same ship an overhaul, rename it, and then you have a new ship to explore the South Pole or the North Pole, whatever. So here it is. So this used to be an old whaling ship. Yeah, refitting, remodeling. Put in a couple of new windows. And 40 years later we rename it again in the original name. Discovery.
Excitement of sea scouts who rowed their whaler to Captain Scott's Thamesworth Discovery. We only read of the big days of big people. Not of a bunch of kids who will long remember welcoming such VIPs as the District Commissioner and the London Commissioner for Senior Scouts aboard their training ship.
Here I have a couple of those ships. The top one is the Terra Nova, the top row. The middle row is the Discovery. And the third row is the Belgica. And the last one. This ship was built in 1884. Seal catching vessel. So the Terra Nova used to be a whaling ship. And this is a seal catching vessel. And it's built in Sandefjord, Norway. Like the Endurance, the ship from Ernest Shackleton. Come from the same town in Norway. All these boats are similar, and not by a little bit, by a lot. These booms, the mast, the way the smoke pipe is situated. Here. Pretty similar. HMS Discovery was a wood hulled screw expedition ship. Yeah, I call it an icebreaker, a wooden icebreaker. All those ships were pretty good in icebreaking back in the days. This HMS Discovery from 1874 that got wrecked in 1917 looks pretty similar to all those other ships. I bet they did all those expeditions with one single ship. You rename it after it's being wrecked. Or just give it an overhaul and rename it. And then create a new story. I will upload this image with all those pictures to ImageGur, image hosting. And then you can see it for yourself. Or you can do your own investigation on the pictures and on the rest, of course. You don't need me to do that. I'm going to end this video with a sad and a most heroic story.
Edward Evans died on the 17th of February at the base of Beardmore Glacier. Having fallen and suffered damage to his head, Captain Oates had severe frostbite and walked out into the cold to the words, later recorded by Scott, "I am just going outside and maybe some time." Walking out into a blizzard to sacrifice his life so the other men could carry on unhindered. Having taken shelter in tents and written farewell messages to their family, Scott and his two surviving comrades, Bowers and Wilson, perished from most likely starvation and exposure to the extreme cold. Their bodies were found 8 months later.
This story makes me so emotional. Last time I was so emotional was when old Jello died.
Pieces of shit.